So, we have spent the last few weeks looking at some messages that kind of address some of the challenges that we face as a church, and not just our church in general. It is somewhat specific to our church, but at the same time, these are challenges that churches all over the country and all around the world are facing. We kind of started off the series, this short series, talking about some of the financial challenges and the fact that God calls us. We have an opportunity to do our part in the kingdom of God through the giving, through our generosity, our tithes and our offerings. That's the way God funds the work of His kingdom here in the church and on this earth. We talked about the need for every part of the body being active and involved. The fact that it takes all of us. Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ. And it takes every one of us doing our part to make sure that the body functions the way God designed it to function. If one piece is missing, then it affects the whole body. And we talked last week about what I call the lack of and the need for a desperation for God. We talked about some of the people in the Bible who are desperate for God. We talked about David. We talked about Moses. We talked about Elisha and the fact that if we're going to continue to experience the kind of moving of the Spirit in our church and in our country, then I think the church has to become desperate for the presence of God. So today I want to talk to you about a challenge that we can call it a lot of different things. We can call it evangelism. We can call it outreach. We can call it discipleship. We can call it sharing our faith. There are a lot of different descriptions for what I'm going to talk about today, but I refer to this as what I call the challenge of soul winning. Of soul winning. So today's message, you can see there on the screen, it's all about souls. Why do pastors serve in full-time ministry and sometimes bivocationally to make ends meet? Why do we do what we do day in and day out, week in and week out? Why do we preach and share the gospel? Why do evangelists travel the country and even around the world to share the gospel with anyone and everyone who will listen? Why do missionaries sacrifice the comfort and convenience and safety of their own homes and their own communities to go to an underdeveloped part of the world? Why do chaplains, whether it be military or hospital or anything like that, why do chaplains go about doing the work that they do to bring comfort to those in need? But also because, and especially sometimes in chaplaincy, you're one of the last people, they're going to see, and you might be the last opportunity they have to come to know Jesus. Why do we do all those things? Because what it boils down to is it's all about souls. We're in Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 15 through 20. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. Verse 15. And then he, meaning Jesus, told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed." And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. God, this is your word. I pray you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. It It's all about souls. I want to take a look at a few things this morning that kind of talk to us about what it means to be a soul winner. And the first thing I want to ask is this. There's a question I need to ask. Why is soul winning so important? Why is it so important for us to think about that? Here's why. Because lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. How much do they matter to God? So much so that according to John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know that verse, right? That's one of the first verses we learn. John 3:16. But look what John 3:17 says. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Lost people matter to God. So much so that he gave his only Son as a sacrifice for our sins. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that God has actually delayed the second coming of Christ. Not because he is slow in keeping his promises, but because he wants everyone to come to repentance. The Bible tells us it's not the will of the Father in heaven that anyone should be lost. Now, we know everyone isn't going to be saved. But God is waiting. You know what? I've heard people say, well, I've heard about the second coming of Jesus all my life, and it hasn't happened yet. You know what? I've heard about the second coming of Jesus all my life, too, and it hasn't happened yet. My parents have heard about the second coming. My grandparents heard about the second coming. You know what? Since the days of Jesus' disciples, since he first went back into heaven after this scripture we just read, they've all been waiting for the second coming of Christ. Does that mean it's not going to happen? No, it just means it's closer than it's ever been before. But God waits and delays sending his Son Jesus back for the second time for one reason. He wants to give us every opportunity that we can possibly have to be saved. Lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us that the Son of Man came to what? To seek and save those who are lost. Can I just tell us this morning that verse right there defines for us the mission of Jesus. It defines for us the reason Jesus came. Sure, Jesus did a lot of other things while he was here. Jesus healed the sick. He cast out demons. He fed the multitudes with a few little fish and a couple loaves of bread. Fed thousands of people. He worked all kinds of miracles. He even raised dead people back to life. But I want us to understand, those aren't the reason that he came. All of those miracles that he did were simply to point back to him as the Savior of the world, to make us believe in him and know and understand that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. He delivered the demon-possessed. He brought comfort to the oppressed people that were oppressed by situations and circumstances. But all of that points back to the ultimate goal. You know what? Every church we've ever gone to, I hear time and time again, well, we need to come up with a new mission statement. Every time a church gets a new pastor, the guy or gal comes in, well, we need a new mission statement. The church, listen, every church has one mission statement. The mission of the church is the same as the mission of Christ, to seek and save the lost. Everything else we do, it can be good, it can be effective. There are things we do to try to reach out to people that bring people in, but the ultimate goal is this, bringing lost people to Jesus. Because without Jesus, they're going to face an eternity in hell, no matter what else we do. So Soul winning is important because if lost people matter to God and lost people matter to Jesus, then lost people should matter to us. Are we followers of Christ? That's what Christian means, right? And if I'm truly a Christian, my utmost desire, my first desire, and my first goal is to carry out the mission that Jesus left for us to do. Paul says we are his ambassadors. We speak on behalf of Christ. And if that's truly the case, if we're truly trying to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can, then lost people have to matter to us. If we don't, I'm just going to tell you, and you might not like it, but here it goes. If lost people don't matter to us, if we don't have a passion and a concern for lost people, then we need to do some serious self-examination about our own spiritual condition and our relationship with Christ. That's just the bottom line. Why is soul winning so important? Because lost people matter to God, they matter to Jesus, and they should matter to us. What does soul winning require? If we're going to be effective soul winners, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. Jesus tells his disciples in the scripture that we just read, he says, go. Go means that we're going to take some action. To get up and go somewhere requires an intentional effort. It means we must take the initiative. Years and years ago, I heard a message by at the time was one of the he was probably the most well-known and highly sought-after evangelist, traveling evangelist in our entire denomination. His name is Dr. Chuck Milhoff. I heard a message that he preached about this years and years ago, and here's what he said this word go means. It means that we have to get off our seat, get on our feet, and hit the street. Jesus meant this in a very literal sense, and the church has to take this in a literal sense. Jesus said, go. I want us to catch something here. If we want to be effective at winning souls for Jesus, then the church has to realize this come and see mentality of outreach and evangelism and effective ministry has to fall by the wayside. Now, what do I mean by that? Listen, I grew up in a generation, even I grew up in a generation, and I'm younger than some of you here, but I grew up in a generation where, you know what? We went to church. It was just kind of something you did. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily right. I'm not saying we need to go just out of habit or whatever, but you know what? That was just kind of part of life. And we would go, and people had a desire to come and be in church. But now it seems like, especially after COVID, there have been a lot of things that have kind of heightened the truthfulness of this. Since COVID, we got a lot of people we're not coming back to church much. I mean, a lot of people aren't. And listen, I understand there are some legitimate reasons for that. I understand there are people who cannot safely be in a crowd or something, okay? But we seem to have this mentality that we're going to come to church and open the door on Sunday mornings and whenever else we might have services and just kind of sit back and wait for them to come in. That's not happening anymore. So the whole come and see mentality, we need to reevaluate. If we want to win people to Jesus, then we have to adopt a mentality of what I call go and be. We have to go where the lost people are. We have to care enough to seek and save the lost. We have to show them something or someone that gives them a reason to then want to come and see what's going on. I'm not saying we stop inviting people to church. I'm saying we have to be out there being the hands and feet and heart and voice of Jesus so that they have a reason to come and see what's different in our lives. How do we do that? Jesus said, preach the good news. Well, what is the good news? The good news is this: Jesus loves you. The good news is that Jesus died on a cross as a sacrifice for your sin and mine. The good news is that we can be forgiven of sins and live a life of freedom from sin. The good news is we can spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. It's kind of summed up in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the good news. But how do we share it? How do we share that good news with other people? Well, one way is by preaching, verbally preaching, what we're doing right now, proclaiming it. Pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and chaplains, we tell other people about Jesus through the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. But not everybody's a preacher. Not everyone's an evangelist. Not everyone's a missionary or a chaplain. So if you're not one of those things, then how do we, what's our part in sharing the gospel? Here's what it is. It's called personal testimony. It's called a personal testimony. If we're a follower of Jesus and if we're a child of God, we have a story to tell other people. How did I become a child of God? How did I become a believer in Jesus Christ? That's my testimony. That's my story. And you know what? I'm the only one that can tell my story. Each one of you, if you're a Christian today, if you're a born-again believer and follower of Jesus, you have a story about how that happened to you, and you're the only one who can tell it because you're the only one who has experienced your story in your way. John Wesley famously said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." Whether they are commissioned pastors and evangelists and chaplains and missionaries, or whether we're lay people, that's what John Wesley's talking about here. Give me 100 people who will proclaim the truth of the gospel, and it will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of God. Your testimony is a powerful tool for building the kingdom. Don't let your story be wasted by not sharing it with someone else. You say, "Well, my story is not as powerful or not as impressive as someone else's." Listen, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how powerful or impressive you think it is. Because your story might be the only person that can reach that coworker or that other family member, or your story might be exactly what they need to hear. As extravagant or as simple as it might be. Here's the other way we share the gospel, by example. We share it by example. See, one of the most effective ways of sharing the gospel is simply by living it out in front of other people. Not in a showy way, not like look at me kind of way, but in a simple, humble way, just live a godly life in front of other people that they can see. That's sharing the good news by example. Let others see how your life is different because of Jesus. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary." Now, we've already talked about preaching it, proclaiming it. It doesn't mean we don't ever share. It doesn't mean we don't ever talk about it verbally. It's just one other way. See, all these things work together. And that's just a great thought, reminding us how important our actions are. Sharing our faith verbally and living it out in front of people go hand in hand. But it is a reminder. We've all heard actions speak louder than words, right? If I tell someone I'm a follower of Jesus and then I go out and do something that's not an example of Jesus, what are they going to believe more, what I say or what they see? Be an example. It's called being intentional. Soul winning also requires that we be inclusive. Jesus said, go into all the world. Go make disciples of all nations. The gospel message is for everyone. It's for those across the street. It's for those around the block. It's for those around the world. Remember, God so loved the world, not just Shipshewana, Indiana, not just LaGrange County or Elkhart County or Northeast Indiana. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. See, we're called to share the gospel without discrimination, without favoritism, without partiality or prejudice. We are called to share the gospel without consideration of one's race or nationality or social status or whether they're wealthy or poor. Because Jesus died for the whole world. And we should be willing to share the gospel with everyone who's ready to hear it. Luke 14, Jesus tells the parable of the great feast or the great banquet. And what's happened here is the master of the house has invited all his friends to come to this huge party. But when it's time for the feast, his servants come and say, look, hey, master, none of the people you invited have come. He's invited all his friends. He's invited all the important people in his life. He's invited all the influential people. But when it came down to time to be there, none of them came because they all made excuses about being too busy doing other things. Well, in Jesus' parable, this makes the master of the house get so angry, and the scripture says he got furious. He said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town. Invite the poor, the cripple, the blind, and the lame. Well, the servant did that. He sent all the servants. They came back in and said, we got all of them. There's still room in the house. The house isn't full yet. The master said, then go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges. And urge anyone you find to come in so that the house will be full. He invited people. The people he thought he wanted to be there, they didn't come. He could have sat back and said, well, all the preparation, all the food, everything would have gone to waste. But no, he sent them out and said, go look for people. Go find anyone you can find and invite them to come so that the house will be full. What's the meaning of that story? The feast was for everyone who chose to show up. The gospel is for everyone who chooses to hear and listen and respond. You think maybe, just maybe, it's possible? I know I'm going out on a limb here. Is it maybe just possible that we might need to go start looking for lost people where Jesus would go start looking for lost people? If I were to ask, and I'm not going to, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. If I were to ask us this morning, how many of us have friends and intentionally associate with people who are not already Christians? Or do we spend our time around those people who are already like-minded and think like us? Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. We need to be going and finding the sick people and introducing them to the doctor. I heard a pastor a long time ago say the church isn't meant to be a haven for the saints. It's supposed to be a hospital for the sick. And listen, if we're truly doing what God called us to do, and if we truly have a burden and a passion for lost people, and people come to find that out, there are going to be people come through that door who we might not be comfortable with. Do you know what? That'd be a good thing. It'd be a really good thing. The gospel is for everyone who chooses to hear and listen and respond. So quickly, I want to share with you what I call some identifying traits of soul winners. What are some of the identifying traits of soul winners? First of all, we have to have a strong connection and a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 5. This is that story. In John chapter 15, we find Jesus telling his disciples, You are the vine, branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the gardener. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can't win other people to Christ if I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because I can't share what I don't have. I can't give someone else something I don't have. So we have to have a strong relationship and connection with Jesus. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the power source of our witness and our testimony. So here's what I would strongly urge you. Don't try to witness to someone else without the presence and the power and the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. If we do, we sometimes try to force doors open that aren't ready to be open yet. But we have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Here's the third thing. Be prepared. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it to them. I would hate to ever come down to a situation where I might be in a position or a situation where I'm the last opportunity for someone to come to know Christ. And for some reason, I'm not ready to share Christ with them. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. Here's the next thing, pray. Want to be an effective soul winner? Pray. Pray for people. Pray for a passion for people. And pray for opportunities to share your faith. I read a little book years ago. I believe it was written by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. And in that little book, he talked about divine appointments. And he said, after a while, I got in the habit. One of my spiritual habits was in the morning when I got up and I was doing my devotions, when I was praying, I would pray that God would give me divine appointments with someone during the day. Bring someone across my path that I could influence for Christ in some way. Divine appointments. Pray for people. Pray for a passion for them. Pray for opportunities to share our faith. Be obedient. That's the next thing. Follow through on what the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. You know, last few weeks we've had testimonies about people who said, you know, I just felt like God told me to do this. I had no understanding why. I don't know why God asked me to do it, but I did it, and it just was a complete blessing to somebody else. Follow through on what the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. And once we've done that, listen, expect God to do something. Expect a miracle. We read Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Now listen again to what verses 19 and 20 says. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. The disciples went everywhere and preached. What did he just tell them in verse 15? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. The disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Now listen, miraculous signs aren't what we're after. However God chooses to answer prayer is up to God. Miraculous signs aren't what we're after. What we're after is obedience and following through with the Holy Spirit, and then let God confirm his answers to our prayers in whatever way he sees fit. We read about all kinds of miracles in the Gospels, but you know what the greatest miracle of all is? Salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Becoming a child of God. And an heir in the kingdom of God. We can talk about healings. Healings are great. We can talk about casting out demons. That's an incredible thing. But the most powerful miracle anyone is ever going to experience is being saved and being forgiven of their sins and being made a child of God. This is our mission. Our mission is to seek and to save the lost. And there might be times in our lives when we start to question. There might be times in our lives when we start to doubt. There might be times we ask ourselves, why am I even here? What's really the purpose of all this? Is anything we do doing any good? When we ask those questions, we always, always, always need to be reminded that what we do is all about souls. I want to ask Kimberly to come back. I just want to take a few moments in closing. We're going to sing this little chorus. And it's a song we used to sing in church when I was growing up as a kid. And what I would like to ask you to do, I want to. This is our invitation. It's our closing song. It's whatever you want to call it. But I just want us to take a moment and I want to ask you this question: who? This song says, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart." And I want to ask us this morning. You can call it a challenge. You can call it encouragement or whatever. But as we sing this song, I want you to sing this as a prayer. God, bring someone to my mind. Bring someone to my heart. Bring someone who needs to know you to my mind and give me a divine appointment or whatever I have to have with them. But lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And help me do my part to win